Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Ecclesiastes, the futility of life. Solomon, a man of great wisdom, wealth, worldly influence, gifted of God, and yet he loses his walk with God and is in despair. And in this book, we have his musings as he considers the things under the sun. And he looks and he sees vanity and vexation. To be honest, this book is almost depressing to read the first six chapters because it is just one empty endeavor after another. And yet it is so important that this be written for mankind because people tend to do this. And they are chasing things. And even if they succeed, there is no ultimate fulfillment. And this is really the key to what this book is talking about. A man who has succeeded. And the conclusion of the matter is, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. If God is not in it, it's empty. Written several thousand years ago, and life has not changed. We need this book as much as they needed it then. Because only what is done for God will last. Oh, folks, let us heed the words. Well, Solomon, in our last two studies, we considered the sincerity, or shall we say almost the insincerity of worship. He's doing it through admonition that when you get into the presence of God, be ready to hear. And if you vow, you better fulfill what you vow. You should be quick to hear, slow to speak. And then he ties in, and do you see the oppression of men over other men, especially the wealthy over the poor? And it almost seems like it's out of place, but the point that he's getting is, when you go into God's presence, control yourself. Listen, hear, promise, if you say something, you'll do it. And remember, that God that you're standing in his presence also sees the oppression of men over other men. And when we truly appreciate that God is in control, our problems take on a new complexion. And the truth is, there are problems in this life. But God is on the throne and prayer changes things, and God never does anything without purpose. And if you are in a problem now, you'll soon be in one if you're not. Because that's the nature of life, and God is in it. Be thankful and look for him in the trial. You will find him, and he will give you the wisdom to navigate your life's circumstances. Well, that was worship, but then he talked about poverty and riches in our last study, the emptiness of wealth, the despair that's in wealth, and only in God is satisfaction. Recurring themes. But the ultimate theme is whatever you do without God is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's empty. It's worthless. Folks, we have one life to live. Use it wisely, and your life is made up of time. Don't waste a day. We're going to be looking at the whole of Ecclesiastes chapter 6 tonight, verses 1 through 12. A simple outline that we will see in this is verses 1 to 9 talk about the emptiness of man's experience. And in 10 through 12, the futile struggle against fate. And remember, the words that we're hearing are coming from the vantage point of under the sun. We need to look over the sun where God is. And yet God is everywhere. But if our thinking stops at the sun, it needs to go further to God, the creator of everything, the God of everything, and the God who cares and wants to be involved in each and every person's life. Okay, chapter 6, verse 1, there's an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it's common among men. Okay, so here is this glorious introduction. It was evil in his day, and it's evil unto us today, and it's common to all men. It is therefore wise that he would take this chapter, what we call a chapter, this time and this text to give us an explanation of this evil. Let me give you a quote. The royal preacher goes on further to show the vanity of worldly wealth when men place their happiness in it and are eager and inordinate in laying it up. Riches in the hand of a man that is wise and generous and good for something, but in the hands of a sordid, sneaking, and covetous miser, they're good for nothing. So it's not that there's a problem with being wealthy. Did you get wealthy by God's ordination, or did you pursue it? Was that your life's goal? Make sure you're in life's goal, because you can succeed at the wrong thing. Solomon proved that throughout this book. He succeeded at one wrong thing after another and finally came to the conclusion, it's all about God. So it is, we're going to look at the emptiness of man's experience. And this is the evil that he is setting forth here. Chapter 6, verse 2, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wants nothing for his soul of all that he desires, yet God giveth him not power to eat of it, but a stranger eats it. This is vanity, and this is an evil disease. God allowed this man to accumulate this, but he didn't give him the gift of enjoyment. This is why you can be so happy with next to nothing, because God gives you a gift to be happy and enjoy that. Think about this man. Verse 3, if a man beget 100 children. Now you have to understand, in those days, a lot of kids was a tremendous blessing. Okay, today we don't usually think that way. And he's carrying this. Imagine if this man could get 100 children. Now, remember in the beginning in chapter 2 of this book, when he talked about, what am I going to do with all my wealth? I'm going to leave this behind. Well, this man could have 100 kids to leave this to. And he's still not going to be happy. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, but if his soul's not filled with good, what's the point? Because 1,000 years is nothing with God. Eternity is coming. So even if God grants us 1,000 years, folks, that will one day end. It will be sooner than you realize. Although he has many children and many years of life, he's empty if his soul is not filled with good. And this rich man may not even be buried. Look at it again, verse 3. If a man beget 100 children, live many years, so the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial. I mean, honestly, you don't even have friends left behind to take care of you when you're dead, to give you the final farewell. What's the point? He says something here. Look at the end of verse 3. I say that an untimely birth is better than he. So here he is opening our eyes to this evil that's common among men. If only I could accumulate things and wealth. And you look at the way the people line up for the lottery. It's rampant. Boy, oh boy, I wouldn't have to work. I wouldn't have to do anything. And he says, you know, it's evil. If God is not in it, it doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world and you have 1,000 years, it's not worth it. Therefore, in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 6, there's an evil. And this is what he's addressing. What good are things? Look at the end of verse 2. This is vanity and it's an evil disease. I have a feeling the evil disease we can catch from other people. And kids grow up with this, peer pressure, things, things, things. And marketing preys upon that. And yet this person is not happy, and it's common among men. He looks in verse 3, look at the end. I say that an untimely birth is better than he. In other words, a stillborn baby is better off than this man. Now remember, we're looking at this from the vantage point of under the sun, and in some respects we could say, well, there's a degree of truth to that if you take God out of the picture. But you can't take God out of the picture successfully. It's an untimely birth. Verse 4, for he cometh in with vanity and departs in darkness, and his name shall be covered. This baby is blessed in the sense that he never had to experience the headaches of this life. He came and he departed in darkness, and he's covered over with darkness. He's gone. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun nor known anything. This has more rest than the other. This baby is compared to a wealthy man who has 100 kids and 1,000 years. And he says this baby is better off because he never had to put up with the pain of this world. This man thought having things would give him peace and satisfaction in this world. And Solomon says, no, actually, a quick death gives you more peace in this world. Sobering, sobering thought. Do you see the despair that Solomon's in? But we have to remember, as he's speaking these words, he has tried thing after thing after thing after thing. And he is coming up empty. Remember, he's talking about the injustices of life, oppression of men. Where is God in the whole picture? And in a wealthy man, he has an outward appearance of fulfillment and content, yet he's far from it. Remember what we just studied a couple weeks ago, Ecclesiastes 5:13. There is a sore evil. Well, that's what he's talking about in chapter 6 also. There is a sore evil, which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners to their own hurt. In essence, he's saying the same thing. This evil disease, he's considered it, now he's revisiting it to make sure we get it. Folks, happiness and pleasure and contentment and satisfaction and fulfillment is not in things. It's in a relationship with God and doing what he wants you to do, because therein you will be firing, if you will, on all pistons, because you're going to be doing what God designed for you to do, what he equipped for you to do when you're doing things his way. Consider also Ecclesiastes 5:18. Behold that which I have seen. Jump down to verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, sounds like Ecclesiastes chapter 6, and hath given him the power to eat thereof. Really? Wait a minute. Take a look at Ecclesiastes 6:2. Look in the middle. Yet God hath not given him the power to eat thereof. Okay? So he has no power to eat of his own labor. In Ecclesiastes 6:2, but in Ecclesiastes 5:19, God does give this man to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God. And so it is. Some are granted wealth, and God blesses it, and they will find fulfillment and satisfaction. But others, when they don't find God in the mix, it's empty, and it's better that they had been a stillborn baby than to go through the vanity and vexation of this world. Take a look at verse 6 of Ecclesiastes 6. Yea, though this man live 1,000 years twice, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to the same place? In other words, this man, if he had 2,000 years, but he never changes his focus, what's the point? You're going to die, and you're going to leave every last bit of it. It's over. Look at verse 8, Ecclesiastes 6:8. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Quote, what more has the wise man than the fool? Wisdom itself can't fill a hungry man's stomach. For all the superiority of the wise man compared to the fool, they both get hungry. Being wise isn't as much an advantage as commonly thought. The necessaries of life are the same to both, and their condition in life is nearly similar. Liable to the same diseases, disillusion, and death. We have to remember now as we read this, it's a vantage point of looking at life under the sun. What's the point? And he's starting to realize that fools and wise still have the same basic needs. And some people are fools and they're wealthy, and some people are fools and they're poor. But how about a wise man? And the wise man who seeks God has the same base needs in life as a fool. We all get hungry. We all have to go to sleep. We all sometimes get sick. We have the same base needs. And under the sun, he's looking at this. What's the point? This man labors for his mouth, not his mind, for God. And so it is. What does a fool, what does the wise, what do these poor, what do they have in common? They all have base needs. But let us remember to see life above the sun. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee. Moses speaking to the children of Israel, he, God, humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Stop looking under the sun and start living with a mindset above and beyond the sun. See God in it all. That truth is so profound that Jesus Christ quoted Moses from Deuteronomy, Matthew 4:8. But he, Jesus, answered and quoted Moses, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That is satisfaction. That is fulfillment. That is wisdom. Too often men under the sun are consumed with wandering desires. Take a look at verse 9. Ecclesiastes 6:9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desires. Simply put, the things you can see are better than, boy, if I could only do this, and if I only had that, and if I only could do this, and I could do that. That is worthless, and even what you can see is better than just letting your mind run wild with, boy, I wish I could do this and do this and do this. Wandering desires are not tangible and they move. How can you possibly be satisfied? And even if you could realize all of these wandering desires in your life, you still wouldn't be happy. Only when God is in it. Therefore, the things that are seen are better than all these just imaginations. Boy, I'd love to do this, this, and this. Well, let's get into now verse 10. His mindset now takes him into a fatalistic view of life. What's the point? Remember, these are musings that now that he has accomplished all this, he is giving you, let me tell you my story. And he has now gone through one discouragement after another, and he's now, I got to a fatalist viewpoint. Ecclesiastes 6:10, that which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that's mightier than he. In other words, that which hath been, it's already named. You see, what he is saying, God ordained this from old, it's already been, and what shall be, and it doesn't matter how hard you try or what you do, life is vanity and vexation of spirit. There's no point. Because this is just what God has ordained, because that which has been, it's named already. God already determined it. There's no point. Do you remember earlier in this study? Everything we try that is wrong is designed to come up empty, to drive us to keep looking until we find God. Don't quit. And it is known that it's a man. And by the way, that man, he's not going to contend with him, God, who's mightier than he, and he's the one that has already named everything and how it's going to be. So don't bother. just sit here and there's a cloud always over your head and it's raining on you. What's the point? It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Let's read it again, Ecclesiastes 6:10. That which has been is named already. In other words, everything is predetermined by God. And it is known that it's man. And man is not going to contend with him that's mightier. And anybody that thinks he's going to tell God anything is wrong. You may as well just endure the misery of this life. And it would have been better off if you'd have been stillborn and not have to put up with this mess. Is it not amazing that a great man can get himself in such despair? But it is interesting. Remember what he said in the beginning of this in chapter 6, verse 1? It's common. This attitude is common. Even believers can get discouraged in thinking, what's the point? I'm glad you asked. Let's take a look. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible body, he's talking about the body, the human body, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal man shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Start looking above the sun. Come on, Christian, chin up, shoulders back. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Solomon surely is a far cry from victory. He's in the depths of despair. He's beyond defeat, if you will. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord above the sun, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, it's common among Christians. It's common among all men. Oh, if this... What's the point sometimes? And then you argue yourself back into reality. God's on the throne. Prayer changes things, and he has purpose for me. So it is. He's in despair. God's not... He just preordained everything. He took his hands off this mess, and here we are. Verse 11. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? If a man increases in things, then he adds more to the vanity of life. The more he accumulates, the more he's got to be responsible for. And how can man know what's good for man? We don't know. Because how do we know what God's preordained for us? Money brings problems, and poverty brings problems. Successful men are envied. Failures are scorned. Fame and obscurity both have their disappointments. So what's good for a man? Look to God and let him answer that question. What do you have for me? Here it is, life under the sun. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich, I will make a fortune, I will work hard, and I'm going to do this, this, and this. They are going to fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. It's a common thing in Solomon's days. It was a common thing when these scriptures were written. And it's a common thing today that people line up by the millions to buy lottery tickets. It hasn't changed. That's why he said in chapter 1, he said, there's no new thing under the sun. This book is as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago, because mankind is still mankind. And sin is sin. Our satisfaction in this life can only be found in a walk with God. You see, because as we talk about this man, if God gave him 100 children, if God gave him 100 years, if God gave him doubled it, and this man had all of his imaginations, it would be vanity and vexation of spirit. Compare that to the man that seeks God, humbles himself. What do you want me to do? We don't set out to do anything but what God wants us to do. That's what we ought to do. Look what he says in Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow. The wealthy man not seeking God, he has problem after problem. And God says to the humble man, Lord, whatever you want me to have, nothing more, nothing less. And when God gives him something, he says, I won't even add any sorrow. I have designed you the way you are, where you are, how you are, and I know this will be a blessing to you. You'll enjoy it. And he adds no sorrow with us. Solomon, now we get into the third portion of the book of Ecclesiastes. He starts talking about conclusions and advice for life, not just this doom and gloom. I set forth in the beginning three divisions to the book of Ecclesiastes. Others have divided up differently. I have learned that there's not one way. You can look at it differently, and you can come up with the right answer. I have divided it up this way. Ecclesiastes 1, 1 to 11, life without God is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through the end of chapter 6, the efforts and thoughts to find meaning and purpose that everything Solomon tried are vanity and vexation. And now the last section, chapter 7 through chapter 12, the conclusions and advice on how to live. Solomon, real quick, in our study, has pursued earthly knowledge. He's pursued folly, as in laughter and wine, building projects, landscaping, servants, livestock, wealth, music. And he concluded worldly wisdom is better than folly, but it's still empty. And we studied we need to make the most of this life because we're just going to die anyway, life under the sun, resigning ourselves to doom and gloom. He talks about the cycle of human events. What's the point? And he comes to the reality one day God will judge, but he still isn't really seeking God. He sees the injustices of life. He talks about either way you lose, no matter whatever you do, life is empty. He talks about the value of a companion. He talks about the empty of worldly status or worldly government political success. He talks about the importance of sincerity in worship because too many are disrespectful. And now we've talked about poverty and riches. Solomon succeeded at all of these. And he's saying, let me save you a lot of time and effort. Don't do what I did. Seek God. Serve Him. That's the whole duty of man.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.